You'll be hearing that sound on Sunday, the Super Bowl right around the corner. It's Chiefs versus the 49ers. Who do you think's going to win? Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today as we talk about football's biggest game of the year with our guest, Pete Doherty. Pete's a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and with USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's covered the Packers since 1993, and we'll talk about the game, and we'll talk with him about a little about how the NFL decides where to host the Super Bowl. Love to hear from you. Will you be watching the Super Bowl this year? Why or why not? If you could choose where next year's Super Bowl is played, which city would you pick? I don't think you can pick Green Bay, but give us a call anyway. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Pete Doherty, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me, Larry.
Oh, man. Well, here we are, less than a week away, and it just grinds on me that the Packers aren't in it this year because I thought they should have been.
They were playing as well as anybody at the end of the year there. This is the most, as you said, I've been covering since 93, and this is the most I've seen a team improve from September to January in all those years. And, you know, they were as good as anybody, not saying they were better than everybody, but they were as good as anybody, you know, by mid-January, and they were that close to moving on, and they were a real threat to win the Super Bowl. And as Cliff was saying, this year proved all those team-building axioms to be true. And, I mean, it was just amazing how that young team and all those young players, you give talented guys a chance and you live with the growing pains, you can be rewarded in a big way.
Yeah. As I was thinking back to Super Bowls, and most of them are held, of course, in warmer places. I guess the Minnesota got a couple of Super Bowls, and Detroit got one, I think. I remember there was a lot of grumbling from people about having to go someplace like Detroit for the Super Bowl because of the cold. How does the NFL decide where it's going to be held every year?
So they've got, you know, there are kind of the permanent cities that are in the rotation. So you've got New Orleans, Los Angeles, Miami. I suspect Las Vegas will be part of this rotation now where every 6 or 8 years it'll end up in one of those cities. Arizona, they're probably in, I guess they'd be in that rotation too. And all of those are, you know, very much climate related. But if you build a new stadium, the league will get you a Super Bowl at some point. Even I'm pretty sure the Giants Stadium, the last time that got rebuilt, they had, and it was, you know, unlike Detroit and Minnesota, which were dome stadiums, that was played in open air. Now, I think they were holding their breath that whole time because of, you know, weather concerns and all that. And I'm guessing if they built a new stadium in Green Bay, which they're not going to do, but if they did, they might not get that Super Bowl. And that would be in part because of the weather and in part because, you know, they don't have the infrastructure to host all those people in the city.
Yeah. And, you know, this is your city gets picked. Of course, you've got about 5 years, I think. Isn't it about a 5-year rotation that they announce?
Yeah, it's pretty far in advance. It's at least 3 or 4. And again, there's so much planning that goes into it. Atlanta's another city that I think might be part of the regular rotation, too. But yeah, it's somewhere in that vicinity. It's something I've actually paid less attention to now than I did, you know, years ago when, you know, you were, I was so interested in where it is. Now it's just the same rotations over with the new, you know, the new stadiums put in. So I really only look like a year or two ahead just to see what the possibilities are in case the Packers go. But yeah, I think it's about 4 years in advance or so is when the cities know.
Yeah. And the of course, the economy is just huge for something like that. And it's interesting on ticket prices because a gal called the show while Cliff was on and mentioned going to Super Bowl II of the Packers. And I forget what they paid for tickets. It was like a couple of bucks. It was just a few dollars. And now it's, what is it?
Oh, I don't even.
I think it's the cheapest ticket is like $5,000.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I know when the Packers went after the 96 season, so January of 97, I remember through an agent, player agent, I know when players and agents get a couple tickets each, everybody in the league. I got a couple tickets for friends through him. And if I remember right, they were maybe $750 each. And now, yeah, the cheapest ones are, $5,000, I would guess, at the, and maybe even more than that. And the secondary market, I'm sure, is, much higher than that.
Yeah. Well, here we've got the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs, and the San Francisco 49ers, and they're playing in Las Vegas. Which is kind of interesting in a way. Certainly the NFL has done a complete turnaround when it comes to gambling in the city of Las Vegas.
Yeah, that does. There's just, they can't resist a ridiculous amount of money that you can make, being associated with that and being sponsored by, some of the gambling entities, and they resisted. And then I think when they saw how much money there was to be made, they obviously, they did exactly, a total 180. And now I think it's going to be where you can place bets when you're sitting in a stadium.
That's absolutely amazing. And just the betting and for the Super Bowl, you can bet on pretty much anything. The coin flip.
I think the length of the national anthem is one of them.
This year, I'm betting that I'm betting that there's a bet on how many times Taylor Swift is shown during the game.
I'm sure there is, and I guess that tells us that people will gamble on anything.
Oh my goodness me. Well, we've got the Chiefs and the 49ers. I heard Patrick Mahomes was asked, I don't know, it was yesterday, or how does he get ready for the Super Bowl? And he says, well, I have my usual way of preparing for the Super Bowl, which struck some people as, all right, you're bragging here. It's 4 out of 5, the last 5 years, the Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl, and Mahomes is, he's been playing 5 years, and 4 of the 5, he's been at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's the best, like before, before the season, right before the regular season starts, we have to, if you work for Gannett, Wisconsin, we make, the people who cover the Packers, we make our predictions for the Super Bowl. And I picked the 49ers, and I can't remember who I picked from the AFC. I think it was I don't know if it was the Ravens. I think it was Buffalo, actually. And the only reason, Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game, and the quarterback position has such an outsized influence on the outcome of games that, you hate betting against him, but it's really, really hard to repeat in the NFL. Just really hard. I think no one's done it since the Patriots in the fairly early 2000s where you come back and won. So it's not unwise to pick somebody else than the team that won the year before. So that's the only reason I didn't pick the Saints the Chiefs. And that was a shame on me, foolish to bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Pete Doherty, our guest today, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network Wisconsin. He'll be with us till 12:30. And join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back right after this quick look at the news. Stay with us. Talking Super Bowl 58 today on the show. Larry Mueller here looking at how Las Vegas might have been selected for the event, making some predictions about the game. And our guest is Pete Doherty. Pete, back with us, is a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Covered the Packers since 1993, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions about the Packers or about this year's Super Bowl. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@WPR.org. So, Pete, you would have been probably in Las Vegas this weekend if the Packers had made it. Or are you going to be there anyway?
No, I will not be there. And, yeah, if the Packers had made it, all the access to the players and teams starts on Monday night. So we would have flown in on Sunday and not returned until the following week from that Monday.
So you would have been there, let's see, you started in 93. Did you make it to the New England game? I think that was 97.
Yeah, so that was January 97. The next year was San Diego against the Broncos in January 98. And then the 2010 season, 11 Super Bowl, was down in Dallas against the Steelers. And, yeah, I was at all three of those.
What's it like to cover those?
It's a lot. It's really interesting. But it is a lot. Both teams are available for about an hour each day, and at a different site, except for on the Monday night, they're available at the stadium. And then the rest of the week, they're available at their hotels. They clear out a ballroom and have tables and podiums set up all around. And so you take a bus to each of those places, and it takes a lot of planning that week before for, what stories and columns everybody's going to do, and, figuring out who you have available and what connections there are to Wisconsin and to the Packers and what interesting stories you can do with, because you have every player on every team available to you. I think all the assistant coaches are available most days, and a lot of the scouts too. So it's the access is great, and you can work on stories that, kind of niche stories that nobody else might have thought of, and you have the people. You have direct access to the people you want to talk to. It's a lot easier to talk to an assistant coach. I mean, to try to get a question in on Patrick Mahomes, for instance, I'm sure that's not real easy because he's, surrounded by a mob of people the whole hour.
Yeah, I wondered if you, if a reporter, you'd be thinking, so Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy are going to be, there's going to be huge crowds of people around them, of reporters. You can find maybe even a better story by going to the person who doesn't have anybody in front of them, or maybe one or two.
Yeah, very much so. I remember, for instance, when they played the Steelers, Dick LeBeau was the Steelers defensive coordinator. And while that person, he had a lot of people around him, it wasn't that many because the star players get most of that attention. And I know you were talking with Cliff about, I think it was the 62 season and the Lions playing the Lions twice that year. And LeBeau was on those Lions teams. So I remember talking with him about those and how he thought that they had the better team than the Packers that year. But the Packers pulled out a game with a late comeback. I think they won like 14-7 with an interception. I don't remember the details anymore. It's quite a while ago, but anyway, it was great. It was really interesting to he actually got pretty fired up talking about that, and you could tell it still bothered him that they didn't make the championship game that year.
Yeah, I think Herb Everly might have intercepted a pass. Near the end of the game, and that turned it around because the Detroit was ahead at the time. Oh my gosh! Well, yeah. So I think it's probably a fun. Well, it's a lot of work, I'm sure, but it's also something you probably look forward to as a reporter.
It's it can be a fairly rare experience. I mean, there's a lot of people whose teams a lot of reporters who the team they cover has never made it. So it's an interesting and eye-opening experience. I can also attest that by the end of the week, you're pretty much tapped out. But it is really interesting, and it does give you a chance to work on the kinds of stories that you just normally don't have time for or harder to do. And one of the reasons is because you have access to, literally 130 or so people who are either players or coaches or scouts in the league, and there's just so many topics you can explore with some of them.
It is really, and I think you said this, it is really hard to win the Super Bowl. I mean, the Packers made it five times. They won four out of the five times that they were in. And now we look at Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy. They were both in elementary school the last time an NFL team won consecutive Super Bowls.
It is really hard, and I two things that seem to be opposite can be true at the same time. The Packers, they had these two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Rodgers isn't in yet, but obviously he's going to be. So they had Favre and Rodgers for a 30-year span, and they only won two Super Bowls. There is a sense of that's a little light, that they, you would have hoped or thought that they would have won more with those two guys. On the other hand, winning the Super Bowl is really hard, and a lot of things have to go right. Just think of that 2014 season when the Packers, they were the best team in the league by the end of that, in the playoffs. They go to Seattle, and they have that game won, only to just completely fall apart in the last 5 minutes and lose.
Yeah.
So it's really, think of Peyton Manning, for instance. He played, I'd have to look it up. I think with the Colts, he was there, 15 years probably.
Yeah.
And so that was when he was, he was a great player all those years. They only won one Super Bowl in that time. He ended up winning another in Denver a few years after he went to the Broncos. But by then, he was a shell of himself. He could hardly throw the ball. He was a game manager. And they won because they had one of the best defenses of the previous decade that season. So basically the Colts only won one with him. The Saints only won with Drew Brees. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. So it is very difficult, and a lot of things have to go right. And that's why what Tom Brady did is so exceptional, and that's why Mahomes is probably going to be in a position to catch or surpass him as the best quarterback in history. He's got there's a lot to go between here and there, but he's put himself in position to at least have a chance at it.
Yeah, and he's not that. I can't remember how old he is. He's not very old.
I would guess 28. I have not looked that up, but yeah, he's only been in the league, 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's probably 28, right in there.
Yeah, my goodness. Robert in Stevens Point, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, I would like to ask, how are the referees chosen for the Super Bowl?
So during the regular season, they all work, they have crews, and the same crew, whatever game they're assigned to, it's all the same guys, the same ref, the same linesman, the same back judge, all of that. And then for the playoffs, so all the officials are graded on every game all season. And then for the playoffs, the ones with the best grades work the playoffs, and so they're basically what you would call all-star crews, and then the ones who grade the best through the playoffs are assigned to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember when they actually name the Super Bowl crew, and I don't know if it's before the playoffs are over or not. So I have to think the regular season gradings matter on this too, and are part of the formula. But basically, it's a regular cruise during the regular season and then all-star cruise for the playoffs and Super Bowl.
Robert, thanks for calling. Appreciate the question. And you can join in too, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Certainly this past year, well, maybe the past few years, this whole issue of officiating has, it's been not been good in a lot of people's eyes.
Well, yeah, and there, you know, the technology has improved so much, and everybody at home gets all these great replays, and things happen so fast on the field. I mean, the officials are pretty good, but they can't match what a camera can do sometimes. And there's angles on plays where they're just not in position, and it's kind of mind-boggling that the league has not gone to the eye in the sky official, where there's enough, because they've got the technology to have everybody, they're all hooked up on headsets, where someone sitting in a booth, you don't even need the replay, that person is part of the officiating crew, and can weigh in on any call and say, no, pick up that flag, or, you missed one there that was interference, or whatever call you want to make. And that person would be as much of a crew as any of the part of the crew as any official on the field. And it's just kind of mind boggling that they haven't gone to that or something approaching that at this point, because they're going to end up there. And so it's just hard to see why the wait when all the technology is available. And I mean, it's, you know, especially with the gambling we were talking about earlier, to get these calls right as often as possible is more critical than ever.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Well, this year there was a little kerfuffle a couple of days ago relating to the 49ers and their practice facility. They didn't like the practice facility.
Yeah, so it sounds like where they were practicing, I think it's at the UNLV practice fields. It's artificial turf, but the league put in a grass field on top of that, and it sounds like San Francisco's the people who handle the field in San Francisco and their equipment people thought the field was a little too soft for their liking, and the 49ers tried to get, it sounds like they approached the league about possibly practicing at the Raiders facility, which is where the Chiefs are practicing, and it sounds like the league shut that down, and they say they got the approval from the Players Association too, that the NFLPA thought the field passed muster. And the quotes I saw today from Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers coach, were the field's fine. Basically, I think they don't want this to get in their players' heads.
Yeah.
And they don't want to make an issue of it, since they obviously got no satisfaction from the league and wanting to move to a different field. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things. That's one thing I learned that first Super Bowl. The week of the game, the smallest little nuggets of news, not that this is that small, but the smallest little nuggets of news for a short time get blown up to epic proportions because all eyes are on these teams and on the Super Bowl. And I guarantee you 5 years from now, when they're talking about who won this game, they're not going to be talking about the 49ers practice field.
You mentioned Kyle Shanahan, and his dad was a coach, the head coach for, forget who he was the head coach for, but his...
For the Broncos, yeah.
Yeah, for the Broncos winning the Super Bowl. So if Shanahan wins this year, it'd be the first time ever, I think, a father and son duo won the Super Bowl as head coaches.
Yeah, I would think that's right. I guess I haven't thought that through, and it was Shanahan whose Broncos beat the Packers in the 97 season, the January of 98, the Super Bowl at San Diego.
Yeah. And the other one that I read about was Christian McCaffrey. His dad, Ed, was a wide receiver on those Bronco teams, if I'm not mistaken. So Christian could join his dad as players, father-son players on Super Bowl teams.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure that's been done before, but you know, and Ed McCaffrey was a good player, but his son's a lot better.
Oh, I see. He is absolutely an amazing player. In my mind, he's got to be not the best player in the league. He's certainly one of the top players in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, like if you're just, you know, picking out players for value and you take the quarterbacks out of it because they just have such an outsized influence on the games, you know, McCaffrey would be in the top couple. If you had an MVP for non-quarterbacks, I think he'd probably be the favorite to win it.
So you'll be watching the game, I'm sure, on Sunday. What individual matchups are you most excited to see unfold, and maybe, and why?
Yeah, there's so much. You know, the Chiefs. Chris Jones, their defensive lineman, is such an important. He's just really, really good, and his pass rushing. You know, they're not quite as talented as they were the previous few years. They've lost some players, age and free agency and all that. But he is so important to their defense. So I'll be watching to see if he's getting pressure on Purdy, maybe gets a couple big sacks. That could change the game, especially once we get to the fourth quarter if it's a tight game. So that's something to watch. You know, McCaffrey, the way they use him, these running backs, you know, it's funny how the running back position, the value of the position in one way has diminished a lot because there's a lot of good ones coming out of college. These guys get beaten up. So their careers are short, but in another way, they're more important than ever because if you can run the ball, you can really help your quarterback out. And these running backs who can double as quasi receivers are worth their weight in gold. And McCaffrey is the quintessential example of that. So I'll be really curious to see how they use him, not just running the ball, but passing the ball. And Deebo Samuel's kind of the flip of him. He's a receiver, but also plays some running back. And I think that causes defenses all kinds of problems. So I'll be curious to see how the Chiefs go about defending those two guys.
Yeah, I think so. And Travis Kelce, you know, who's just a great end. And he's going to be up against, Brandon Ayuk, who is really a great linebacker. That could be an interesting pairing, too.
So Ayuk is a receiver for the 49ers, but you've got Fred Warner is the
49ers. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He's their all-pro linebacker. And then Greenlaw, their other linebacker, he's the guy who had the two interceptions against the Packers in the playoffs a few weeks ago. That might be the best inside linebacker combination, and covering the tight end will be a big part of their duties. So that you're right. That is a really big matchup, the Warner and Greenlaw versus Kelce, because Kelce is obviously the Chiefs' go-to receiver.
Yeah. So what would be the most surprising outcome of the Super Bowl 58 in your mind?
I guess the most surprising would be a low-scoring game. It happens every once in a while. But, you know, like a score where nobody hits 20 or a 20-17 game, this just looks to me like it has the makings of a game in the upper 20s to 30s. But I wouldn't be surprised if either team won. I'm not sure what the point spread is. I saw that it was the equivalent of a 59% chance that the 49ers will win. So that's if they played 10 times, that's the 49ers winning six of them, which strikes me about right. But that's, you know, even enough where would not be surprised at all if the Chiefs won. And as we were talking earlier, it's never a great idea to bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Do you think the 49ers will win? Is that your pick?
That's my pick. I thought this going into the season, and no reason to change now, that they're top to bottom, they're the most talented team in the league, and they have the most star power. The Chiefs have the best player at the most important position, but Brock Purdy's a very good quarterback himself. So I'm thinking that the better overall team with the really good quarterback will beat the not quite as good overall with the great quarterback team, but you know, I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it, put it that way.
No, I don't think so. And Brock Purdy is such a great story with him anyway. Mr. Irrelevant, not so irrelevant at all.
No, pretty amazing. He's the last pick of the draft. You know, I haven't looked at what number he was in that draft. I know, like when Brady was making his Super Bowl runs, noting that, I think, because he was a sixth-round pick, I think, and he was the 199th pick of his draft, and Bart Starr was the 200th of his draft, or vice versa. One of them was 199th, and one of them was 200th. And that's pretty amazing for those guys to have won multiple Super Bowls. And it is amazing you get the last pick of the draft, and Purdy, I mean, he's clearly a top 10 quarterback and probably a little higher than that. I would say there's a pretty good argument he and Jordan Love are, you know, I mean, they're the two up-and-coming young guns, and maybe even by the end of the season, the two best quarterbacks in the NFC. I'm not sure what happened with Jalen Hurts. And, you know, Love outplayed Dak Prescott. So, you know, Love and Purdy are the two up-and-comers in the NFC.
Going to be some interesting games, I think, between the 49ers and the Packers down the road for sure.
Yeah, and there's quite a history there with those two teams. And it sure looks like it. You know, you never know what can derail a team in the coming years, injuries, all those things. But those are two really good players. And in that position, you get a really good player there, you're about 80% of the way there.
Pete, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. We'll look forward to having you back again and look forward to the Super Bowl this Sunday. Thank you, Pete.
All right. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Pete Doherty, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network, Wisconsin. It's great to have him with us, and hopefully we can get him back for another Sports Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow on the show, it's another Wildlife Wednesday. David Drake and Jamie Nack are back. They'll talk about, among other things, groundhogs in Wisconsin, and they will share the results of a survey about the money in outdoor recreation. That's tomorrow at 11. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.